There is something special about Christmas Eve. I love just the quietness. We, Margie and I, have all these Christmas traditions that we do. We drive around in our pajamas looking at lights and stuff, and it's really weird if we're in her car, which is a little lower than my truck, and people drive by and they look and they do a double take because, you know, here's an old man in pajamas, and I just wave, you know, hey. But there's something sacred about Christmas Eve when everything just quiets back down. And we light the candles, and we just spend time in the quiet. The lights, the music, the anticipation, but even more, there's this sense that something's changing. Something's different. Christmas Eve reminds us of this truth, that God steps into our world not when everything was perfect, but when everything was broken. And his arrival changed everything. And the same God who brought hope into darkness, brought peace into chaos, brought joy into despair and love into the world, he comes to meet us here tonight. And the question before us is simple. Will we receive that gift that changes everything? Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I want to share some scripture with you tonight and just kind of break it down for us. The first thing I want us to understand about Christmas Eve is so important is Jesus enters our world. Now, the fancy word is incarnation. That's where Jesus takes on human flesh. God is born as a man. And some people scratch their heads and go, well, that just doesn't make any sense. Well, you know what? You're not God. And he is. And he can do pretty much whatever he wants. So Jesus is entering not only in our world, but he's entering into a broken world. The Jewish nation was under Roman oppression. There was a lot of darkness. There was a lot of unrest. And Jesus came and entered into that. And he enters into our life the same way. He doesn't wait for you to get it perfect. He enters into our mess, enters into our brokenness. This is what it says in Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Most saviors, most kings would enter with grandeur. In other words, there would be fanfare and announce, you know, when a prince is born or when a princess is born, there's great joy throughout the kingdoms. And yet the king of the world comes in not in a palace, not in grandeur. He's not like a leader that has a platform that he's trying to sell everybody. He didn't go to the important people, you know, that demand the attention. Hey, why are you eating with these people? You need to be eating with us. We're the important people. But Jesus enters the world into chaos. He enters the world into economic hardship. He enters into the world of a poor teenage couple, into a crowded, noisy, inconvenient moment. That's where Jesus came. And he was laid in a feeding trough. Not worthy of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Announced by the angels with a lot of fanfare to the shepherds, and yet he is born in almost obscurity. So why would God choose this? Why would God choose this? And in the scripture, the answer is breathtaking, I think. It says, because Jesus came all the way down to meet us where we actually are and not where we pretend to be. We have our Facebook personas, and sometimes that spills over into our church personas. Hey, how you doing? Hey, man, I'm great. When your life is a mess. And if you look on Facebook, it seems like everybody's got it all together. I'm in a relationship. I'm not in a relationship. I'm in a relationship, I think. I think I'm not in a relationship. I don't know. Hey, y'all vote. Give me thumbs up, thumbs down. And we just live this life. And it's false. And Jesus comes into that, and he doesn't wait for us to clean it up or to calm down or to get our act together. What he does, he comes and he sees you and he sees me and he steps toward you and he steps toward me and he comes close. Divinity wrapped in vulnerability. This is not just the story, it is the heart, the very heart of the gospel, that Jesus came to be like one of us. The second thing Jesus does, he brings good news of great joy for all people. Still reading in Luke chapter 2. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." We've heard those words countless times, but I don't want you to miss them. Fear not. I bring you good news of great joy for all people. That's the line. It's so important. Not just the best people, not just the religious people, not the put together people or the people that think they've got it all together, but for all people, all backgrounds, all stories, all failures, all wounds. This means that there is good news of great joy for those that are anxious. There's good news of great joy for those that are grieving, for those that are lonely, for those that are disappointed, for those of you that are exhausted. There is good news of great joy. For those of you that aren't sure and you're wandering and you're seeking, there's good news of great joy. For those that feel unworthy, I'm not worthy of that love. There's good news of great joy because the angel says, "For unto you is born this day a Savior." See, we live in a time and a culture where we see all these self-help books and we need a life coach. God didn't send a coach. He sent a Savior. He didn't send a philosophy. He didn't send a pep talk. He sent a Savior because we are in need of being saved. And Christmas joy isn't just this feeling like, ooh, you know, this is so nice. Look at this. Wow, it's warm and fuzzy. It's not a feeling at all. It's a person. It's a person. It's Jesus. The third thing I want us to see is Jesus is God's love that's been made visible. If I go over to John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth." Some people say, like, well, you know, it was just a guy. You know, maybe he was a great philosopher. No, that's not what he says at all. When Mary, pregnant with Jesus, goes and sees her cousin who's pregnant with John, John leaps in her womb because he recognizes that this is the Messiah. John gives us the why behind Christmas. It says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God didn't shout His love from heaven. He didn't start things, throw it out there and say, hey, figure it out. He didn't send a messenger. He didn't give us another law. He gave us Himself. Love moved into our neighborhood, into your neighborhood. And this is why Christmas matters. See, God's love is not an idea. It's an arrival. He came. He's here. God's love is not some kind of concept. It's a real person. God's love has a name. And it is Jesus. And He came to dwell, to stay, to be with us. And He says, "I will never leave you or forsake you." Not temporarily, not conditionally, not partially. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Not God above us, not God beyond us, not God eventually kind of coming near us, but God with us. So tonight, that truth stands over every heart in this room. God with those that are hurting. God with those that are doubting. God with those that are experiencing joy. God with those that are feeling lonely. God with those that are exhausted. And God with you. Whatever you're going through, wherever you're at. And I wanted to land on this last point here that Jesus came to give us new life. He didn't come to give us another good holiday. I know as a teacher, we look for those little holidays. Okay, when is fall break? Oh, good. I can make it till then. I've used all my sick days. What am I going to do? You know? Oh, and then the Thanksgiving break. And then there's the Christmas break. And then there's the winter break right after Christmas. And then you may get a day or two here, you know, for either Martin Luther King Day or President's Day. Or you may get a day here or whatever. But we look for those little holidays. Jesus didn't come to give us another nice holiday where we could all just sit around and hug each other singing Kumbaya. Jesus came to give us life. This is in Titus, Paul's letter to Titus. He says this, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." He came to make us children of God, bring us into His family, and to give us a new life, a new purpose. Paul writes, "When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Not because we were righteous, not because we earned it, not because we prayed about it, right prayers, lit the right amount of candles, we said all the right things, did the right things. It's because God is good. It's because God is loving. It's because God is kind. Christmas is not about making life more sentimental. Christmas is about making life new. As we celebrate His coming into history, we remember His coming into each of us. And we celebrate that. Jesus didn't come to say, "Hey guys, I got a plan. I want to improve you. I want to help you. I want to help you navigate this life, this journey." What He did, He came to rescue us. Jesus didn't come to inspire you. "Hey, I've got some great stories I want to share with you. Hey, watch what I do with these fish and bread." What He did, He came to redeem us. He didn't come to decorate our world. What He did, He came to transform our world. And He invites us to respond tonight. If you look at the Christmas story and the characters in the Christmas story, the shepherds, they responded. The angel came to them and said, "Hey, I got good news of great joy, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And they went, they responded, and they worshiped. Mary responded. You know, when the angel came and said, "You are going to have a son, and it's going to be from the Holy Spirit." And Mary goes, you know, "Why me? But let it be to me as you say." She responded. Joseph, he responded. We talked about him Sunday. Joseph responded. Here's this teenage boy going to marry this girl that's pregnant. And he's like, "What?" And so he quietly doesn't want to cause a scene or whatever. He's already going to face ridicule like, "Hey, that's not Joseph's kid. You know, what's he doing? He's going to lose reputation. He's going to lose standing." There's all of these things. But the angel comes and speaks to Joseph, and Joseph responds. And when Jesus is born, he names him Jesus. The wise men responded. They came from the east, and they brought gifts. Christmas always demands a response, because the gift is offered, the gift must be received. Tonight, Jesus invites us. He says, "Receive my hope." That was the first candle that we did, because He is the light in our darkness. He says, "Receive my peace. I will calm your weary heart. I will settle you." He says, "Receive my joy, because I will fill your emptiness." And he says, receive my love because I will never leave you nor forsake you. He says, receive me because I am the gift that promises and offers everything. Christmas didn't happen so we could just celebrate one night of the year. Christmas happened so that we could experience a new life, that we would be different and changed. So as we prepare to take communion and then to light the candles and turn the lights down and sing at the end of the service, I want us to just pause. I want us to think and remember this, that the world changed because Jesus came down. The world changed because Jesus came down, but our lives change. Our lives change because we let him in. For unto us is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord.